Hey, 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 closet busters and bold move makers. It is time once again for Life Uncloset. So I want you to gather around because it is time once again to kick down those closet doors of your life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons. I'm the bold move expert and that coming out guy who's going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloset. So come on along with me and grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step into facing your fears, making your bold moves, and living life without apologies. Now let's get to the show. Have you ever thought Life Uncloseted family, and welcome to the show, by the way, but have you ever thought, like, what are all the colors, not just of the rainbow, but of relationships? I know some of you have, but then some of us are like, well, that works for me. And others like, oh, that would never work for me. And that's the beauty of our world and our planet, and especially of our LGBTQ plus community. Not everything's going to work for everybody, and not everybody has to be everything, because that's what made us the LGBTQ plus community. Let's get real about this. But what happens when suddenly you're like, yeah, I love my guy, my gal, my partner, but they're not my forever. They might be in some way, shape, or form, but there's something else. And this isn't a subject that has not been talked about before, but I feel like we are at a crossroads in our culture as a world right now, where people are saying, but I want to love who I love, how I love, when I love. And sometimes it's not the love. It's not just hopping in the sacks and having great sex. I mean, let's just be honest. There can be people who feel voids for you in many different ways, and they may be part of, well, yeah, polyamory or whatever it may be like. Well, we're going to go down that path today with a therapist who I think we're going to have a great conversation just in the time I've been able to spend with her. Her name is Deanna Fearman, and she is a counselor based in Colorado. Her company is All the Colors Counseling and Consulting, and I love that because there's so many colors in these relationship things that we do, and I can't wait to dig in with her. She's a big advocate, educator, consultant, and researcher about queer communities and how we queers do everything that just pisses everybody off. And I love it, love it, love it. I'm here for it all. So anyway, I'm so excited to have her here, and I got to shut up because I know she's ready to share with us. So Deanna, welcome to the podcast, and glad that you made time for us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to talking today too.
Yeah. Well, and see, I'm giving her a primer. She's starting her own podcast. Her own podcast is called Multiple Choice. I love that, given the subject matter. It's like, yeah, I'll have a little side of A and a little side of B, maybe a touch of C, you know, but it's such an interesting dynamic, don't you think, Deanna, right now? I mean, people are like, need more to make this really work.
Yeah. A lot of times, it's funny as you're saying this, making this work, because yeah, I work with people who are starting new relationships and trying to figure out how to have multiple partners when it's brand new, people who've been in long-term relationships and trying to get those, you know, how do we open things up or do we want to open things up? People who've been in polycules for years and something's different coming up. And there are so many different ways of approaching non-monogamy. But it's become more and more in the popular culture recently. Yep. For me, going on almost 20 years now, when I've personally identified as this, back then, you know, I think it was The Ethical Slut. That was my first introduction to all of this. And it's been a bit of a ride since then. I've published on this piece maybe a decade or so ago, on open relationships and non-monogamy. And it's something that's really important and people are starting to talk about it. But also, just for therapists specifically, people don't know how to work with non-monogamous, especially couples work or polycule work. Like, okay, right. I have these people, but they're not getting all their needs met or supposed to be getting all their needs met from one another. Right. What do I do?
Well, the terminology polycule is just like a mystery to so many people. So why don't we start there to like explain that to people? Because there's polyamory, there's polycule, there's, you know, there's all these things. So this is where I think people get really like, okay, I can't even talk the lingo. And then it's like, well, wait, I actually have those kind of feelings. So what's your definition of polycule, or the definition from you?
Let me actually back up a little bit just to use a couple of definitions of big terms that I might be throwing around today. So non-monogamy, some people, and by the way, disclaimer also that my definitions may not be other people's definitions. So I'm going to be sharing as I understand it, and feel
Yep.
free to disagree or go do your own research and see what else is out there. Non-monogamy is basically the not monogamy, and there's so many ways of doing it. So I use the term non-monogamy as a umbrella way to cover everything. Some people say ethical non-monogamy, some people say consensual non-monogamy. Polyamory is kind of a subset of that. Open relationships is as well. So open relationships, the idea is it's a relationship of some sort. It's not just a we're going to go have one night stand, which is that's non-monogamy, right? I'm with this partner, but we're just going to go have sex with other people. That's great, but that's not necessarily having a relationship. There's open relationships. Then there's also polyamory, which literally it's many loves, right? So having multiple romantic or sexual, depending on how you frame it, relationships. And so polyamory, I think with counseling in particular, we use that term because people are probably going to be coming to couples counseling just because they're having sex with someone and they're having a hard time. They probably would just break up in a lot of cases, as opposed to a I'm in a long-term relationship with you. I want to make this work, and we're having some ongoing challenges. Polycule specifically is three or more people in a committed relationship, essentially.
It's such an, you use the word essentially. I think this is a really essential piece of having a solid relationship. First of all, a solid relationship with yourself. Because so many people probably harbor this within themselves as they're exploring relationships and getting into relationships, and but then they bury it, they hide it, and then they conform. And as a guy, you know, who hid in the closet, got married, had two children in a, you know, two gender relationship. I never really thought about all of this until I had been with my husband probably about 7 years. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm a 100% forever guy. I love him to death, and I would never want to see it end. But I also, there's other pieces of the puzzle that it can be tough, as you know, because you got to deal with like jealousy, insecurity, all these sort of things. But that was a big introspection for me. Like, those are things that are just like I do that with friends. Like, oh great, now this friend doesn't want me, and then I feel insecure. Oh wow, this friend spent all this time with all these other people and not with me, you know? And so it was such a beautiful. And every once in a while it still hits, but such a beautiful self-development of really coming into that space of like, okay, this isn't just about my intimate relationship. This is about a lot of relationships that help me start to really go, okay, this is where I get to go do the work. And I think for most people, they could see that and then start to step into and ask the tougher questions, which I know you probably have. You could probably give us 100 different questions to like really explore this. But ask, why is this important to you? What
You
is it
just
you
said
most want?
a phrase, by the way, that I loved, which was I get to go do the work, because so often when people get to that point, there's a lot of work to be done, and you can run away from it. And I mean, arguably the opposite of all this is cheating, because there's not consent, there's not respect, there's not authenticity and directness around it. And so when someone says, I get to go do the work around it, that's when I think the world opens up, because it's let me check in on all the stories I've been told, the biases I have, the assumptions, all of that stuff. And how do I think about it in a new way, which is hard, but can be so rewarding in so many ways.
I mean, I anybody who's listened to this, but there may be new listeners today. I was a serial non-monogamous in my quote monogamous relationship. So yes, those that want to, let's go ahead, say the big C word. I was a cheater until I finally admitted, like, this is what I would like outside of this. And that was really tough, to say the least, Deanna. That's a tough space, because you start to see yourself in a whole different light. And all you could hear was cheater, 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 cheater. And then when I get up on stage and talk about it, of course, I always have somebody that comes up afterwards and like, you know, regardless how you want to package it, you're still a cheater. I'm like, great. Thank you for reminding me that that's how you see this. And they usually don't know what to say, because that's actually what I'll say. Great. Thanks for reminding me of how you see this. I've already come to terms with it. I own it. I I wouldn't even. Do you think if I was not owning it, I would talk not talk about it on stage? Of course, that's why I own this. I'm trying to help people see like what happens when you own your most authentic self. And it's still tough at times to just like manage through it, you
Yeah.
know? But I think it's a beautiful space when you step up to what you're saying, this is how I would choose to show up in the world.
It's the choice piece. And I think a lot of people who are non-monogamous, I mean, here's the thing where I'm thinking about the happily ever after stories we're presented with in the media. How often do you see a non-monogamous relationship that's happy and successful? And, all relationships have some ups and downs, but it's I think the fact that we aren't given a model means that the only model we know is cheating. The only thing we know is, okay, well, I'm not happy with my partner, so either I'm going to break up with him or I'm going to go behind your back. As opposed to act for myself, again, a couple decades ago, I was serial monogamous, dating, got so exhausted, met somebody, and I said, I like you, but I don't know if I can do this. And this person said, here, read this book, luckily, which was The Ethical Slut at the time. Read it, and I went, oh, there's another way of doing it. But the word cheater, it's I think a lot of people get their start there because they don't know how else to do it. And I don't think it's a bad word so much. I mean, we all learn, we all grow. So this is, for any of you who have that identity of, oh, I'm hiding something, go, hey, maybe there's another way to approach it.
Well, I think that's it, is we get so black and white. I mean, this is the way we're constructed as humans. It's either this or this. There's so much beautiful gray in everything about life. I mean, you know, the colorful spectrum of gray to me, and then people go, what do you mean the colorful spectrum of gray? I'm like, there's multiple shades of gray. I mean, it's not just a book or a movie, right? Okay. Might want to read that too, folks, if you're really struggling with some of this stuff. But there's just so many multiple shades. I mean, there are days that I'm like, no, I have no desire to be anything other than like, I just want to be with my guy, right? And then every once in a while, it's like, I really like to do this. And so then there's other conversations that happen, should be happening. But is it an everyday occurrence? No, not every day. But then there's times, you know, that it's like, ooh, and not all the time is it just solo. I mean, there's times it's like, I'd rather like, you know, do this with my husband. So I think these are the things where suddenly when all the pieces start lining up, there is no one way to do this. Just like there's no one way to come out of the closet.
That's it also, because then if there's no one way to do it, then people get, I myself too, we get scared. We don't know how, we don't get a script to follow. There's nothing to do. And I'm gonna throw a word in here too, just to which is polysaturated. I learned that a number of years back, in the context of this. But I was non-monogamous for quite a number of years. Then I had a found a partner and we have kids. I quickly got became polysaturated just because with kids, you are, I mean, my time was eaten up by all the day-to-day stuff. And it didn't change identity, but it did change what I didn't practice and who I dated. And I think the trick is knowing that, like you're saying, even from day to day, do I want to be more intimate with my husband or with my new partner, or what does it look like? And leaving space for the fact that we can grow and change, which again, we think we have to have the narrative, and it's not the narrative. We're complicated. We
We
change.
absolutely are complicated. And, you know, I mean, let's just go to this is where I think so many people's minds go. It's like, it's all about the sex. It could be.
I
That could
mean,
be one component of it, but not necessarily, you
No.
know? I mean, not necessarily at all. And, you know, I'm a guy that's 60 years old. So, and it's been something of interest to watch myself in this space. Because yes, it used to be very sexually driven because that I was trying to like, you know, especially when I was married to my wife, there was just this carnal like sex thing that I needed because it was like, that's the only outlet I had to like be my quote gay self. Right. And then it shifted. And now being 60 years old and my sex drive is completely different than what it used to be. Sometimes that isn't about the sex. Sometimes it's just like the companionship. And not that I don't get that from my husband. I get that from my husband. But there's sometimes it's like, oh, isn't this interesting that I'm really turned on by this person and they're sexually not anything I would be attracted to, but I'm just turned on by being in the space of who they are. And people just go, I don't get that. I'm like, yes, you do, but you just won't admit it.
Well, and
Sometimes it's the person, not the whatever's going to happen, you know?
it's the, I mean, yeah, sex is great. I think we can, most of us can agree on that. It's, but we have more than one friend. Most of us have more than
Yes.
one friend. Why can't you have more than one love in a different way? And also, one thing I say frequently to my clients is, I'm not trying to convince you to like be in an open relationship. I'm trying to convince you to think through what is right for you at any given moment. And so, you know, if the answer is monogamy, great, go be monogamous, but go through it having thought about, why am I doing this? What's my motivation? For me, one of my dearest friends is someone I dated for 6 years and was in a very serious relationship with. We broke up, but we're better off as friends. But does, in terms of whether that's romantic love or platonic love or what, you know, I think it's as much about that there's love and it's not threatening. We're not trying to, I mean, of course, there's space for jealousy, there's space for all the other stuff, but why can't we just really truly love? And I honestly think that we're missing community. I think you'd mentioned this when we started off, but we all, we're lonely. We want more people and we don't know how to connect necessarily. And wouldn't it be nice if there's a way to say, I really like you and I really appreciate who you are. And I'm not asking for more than just, can you be my friend? And polyamory, again, sex is great, romance is great. But honestly, this is just knocking down that idea of one heterosexual couple with each other, which is what we've been told for years and years. And what are other ways of being in community with one another?
You know, it's so interesting. Yeah, and I don't know, I guess this hit me a couple of weeks ago, and then I thought, oh, I know we have this conversation coming up. I'm like, I want to make sure I really bring this up. It's so interesting that as parents, and maybe it's because I'm trying to remember what movie we watched last night. I'll think of it in a minute. But as parents, we love the holding and cuddling our child. And one of the biggest heartaches as a parent is when they start to pull away and don't hug me so much, don't kiss. But then they kind of retreat back when the moments are needed, right? And it's so interesting that as adults, it's almost like we want you to cut off that intimate piece, like that really like thing, right? So then as an adult, you're supposed to, okay, now find the person. Like, okay, here, this one person is supposed to fulfill that whole thing that we got nurtured to do, right? And it's just such an interesting phenomena to me. And I wish I could think of what this movie was we were watching last night. It's with of course I can't think of his name, but it's called The Nest. And it's based in it starts in New York and then it's based in London, and about, you know, how this guy moves his family and everything, and he's a stockbroker, and it keeps just degenerating, you know, the family unity piece. And there were moments in there where his young son just wanted to hug him and hold him, and that bonding. And then throughout the movie, because of all the stuff that was happening, you can see that, you know, shifting away. But all that the kid wanted was just that thing, right? That piece. Yet there was an undertone, and I probably read more into it than I should have, but there was an undertone of, even between the husband and the wife, there was this intimacy piece that was wanted, you know, that it wasn't have anything to do with sex at all. It's just an interesting dynamic that starts to show up in our culture.
That's an, I'll have to check out that movie also, because it just sounds like it's a really important piece about closeness. And actually, can I go off on a quick tangent here as we're talking?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know how much you've covered in with your listeners in other podcasts, but the theme of authenticity and attachment, and this idea of we want to be able to be ourselves. We want to be able to be in relationship. And as kids, especially, you know, we're not going to survive if we don't have adults taking care of us, right? And at some point, though, we start sacrificing who we are because our need to survive, to be attached, is so important that we start sacrificing ourselves. And I'm guessing you might have some experience with this given your own background, right? And then at some point, I think it's that, how do you find the balance of how can I be truly me while with people who support me as me? And if you lean in either direction too far, I'm going to be me, well, screw everybody else. Then all of a sudden, you don't have that attachment piece. You sacrifice yourself so much to please others. And then the question of who am I comes up. And so it's a constant balancing act, I think. But of those pieces are just a there. There's this tension, but they're so crucial. And for polyamory, we want, can we be ourselves in one way with one person and keep that attachment, be ourselves in another way with a different person and with our kids, with our, with in all different roles in our lives.
Yeah. Well, and it's how you even navigate through friendships. There's friends I can go really, really deep with. In fact, two of my friends are guys that I met on retreats. They're both, heterosexual guys. And the depth of what I have with those guys is so different than any relationship I've ever had with a gay man. And it's because we connect at a different level. We can have heartfelt conversations in a way that there's no, I mean, I joke with both of them, like, one of these days I'm gonna get you in bed. It's just gonna, because it's the joke, right? Which neither one of them, I'm really serious about that at all. It's like there's just such this beautiful essence to what is in our relationship and the vulnerability that I can feel with them and they can feel with me. As the it is the foundation of the relationship. And so this is why they're part of my world. And if they lived closer, I could see myself probably spending, time with them and probably even saying to my husband, I'm going to go spend the night with, going to change the names here, Bob and Jeff, But there's nothing sexual about that. There's like, oh, there's just this brother bonding sort of thing. Which is a different bonding than what I have with my husband. And this was a little bit of a contention at first with for us trying to figure our stuff out, because that's a new layer you have to understand. Like, oh, well, I can give that to you. I'm not asking you to give that to me, because what I'm saying is they have something that I freely receive. That isn't me saying, if you did this for me, that's a, and that to me is, and you're the therapist, so I'll let you kind of go there, but that's a whole different thing. Like when you're trying to make somebody else become something that they can't, your relationship is already in a very scary space, but this is where I think the worlds of, polyamory and all this different stuff gives you that space to go, oh, I get to have this from here and this from here and this from here. And when people make the assumption, oh my gosh, it's because you're just not sexually satisfied, which it can be a piece of that. I mean, I have friends who they're like, yes, we opened up because a partner's like, I'm just no longer really interested in sex and I want my partner to be able to do it. How that looks can be many different things. In fact, I just had a conversation this past week with a client who is in that space, and he goes, I want my partner to be able to keep enjoying his sexual energy. And at times, I just want to be able to sit and watch because that's a turn on. But that
That's
turn on doesn't lead to me wanting to be in the middle of it, because he
no.
goes, I don't function anymore. So let me have that sexual fantasy and be a part of it that way.
What you're talking about also, I don't know how familiar you are with the term compersion, but that idea of pleasure or joy from your partner's joy. And one of the things I love about the idea is it doesn't have to be romantic or sexual, even related to non-monogamy. It can, my partner went and they love baseball and they went to a baseball game with their friends and came home and was bubbling about, great. I may not like baseball as an example, right? But it doesn't mean that I'm not thrilled when my partner comes home and says, I had this great time, is all lit up, because then they're authentic and that makes me want to connect to them more because they're suddenly feeling refreshed and in their own skin. And I think that's the key. I mean, I'm not saying, of course there's jealousy that comes up. Of course there's attachment stuff, our own insecurities. So I'm not saying conversion is the only way to go about it, but I think people would be surprised of if your partner goes off, comes back, says, I'm so happy to see you. Oh my gosh. And they are one of their versions of their best self. And they want to share it with you, that can be, there can be so much joy in that. And I don't think until you've been there, I don't think that you necessarily expect that that's even a possibility. But then that makes you want
Well,
to go and do your own thing as well, get the
but they
joy.
say absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? And it's interesting. I went through it myself, so I kind of, it's interesting. It happened for me at the same time it was happening for one of my clients. He had gone to a retreat, and it was an all gay men's retreat, and he was like, I'm not here for anything that might happen on the side. I'm just here to, like, it was very spiritual, deep retreat, right? I happen to be a facilitator. So I knew him, and I purposely made sure that anything that he was involved in, it wasn't with us. Like I let the other facilitator, him, he focused with those facilitators because I didn't want his experience to be overshadowed by me. And it was such an interesting thing, the joy that I took away. So I'm going to go back to your phrase that you just brought up, compare, what was that again?
Compersion.
Compersion. The joy that I started to feel watching from afar, because he wasn't in my quote tribe, so to speak. But the joy that I watched seeing him get lit up. And then there was an interesting thing where I started to see aspects of him that I saw in my husband. And when I came home, I was sharing with my husband, and I literally like got really turned on looking at my husband because of what I witnessed in my friend. And there was this interesting thing that kind of happened with my husband in that space too, where there was like, ooh, there's something happening between us. Not because I'd been gone for, you know, a long weekend or anything, but I think this is an interesting thing to see these words that you're really familiar with. When now you describe them, somebody can go, oh yeah, I've had that experience too. It's such a beautiful thing.
It is. No, I'm with you on that. I also, while we're talking about this, I also want to make a bit of a caveat because I could see some people listening who might say, okay, that's great and all, but I could never do that. And or if my partner pushed for this, I don't think I'd be okay with that. And I want to really respect and honor that
Yes.
because there's a difference between saying I'd never consider putting your fingers in your ears and saying la 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 to it
Yeah.
versus I've sat with it and due to my own history, due to my own background and my own stuff I'm grappling with, this isn't the right choice for me. And I want to really say, as when I work with clients, you know, that's it's huge. I'm not going to encourage somebody to go off and do this, or if they do, to think really carefully about how to get support, whether it's therapy or knowledge through other groups or something. But there are very good reasons not to open it up. If one person wants to, one person doesn't, that can be a big source of friction as well.
Yes.
But it's something that you hear so often about the negatives, and right now today we're talking about the positives. But I really want to say, for me, it's almost more of an what is, like what it's not that it inherently is one direction or the other.
No.
It's about getting our needs met in community, consensually, ethically, respectfully, responsibly. It's okay to have needs. It's okay to have wants. And maybe your partner says they're not comfortable with something. Okay. So then find, let's, you know, get creative, find a different way to get the need met. But I think it's the one person laying down the law and saying, this is how we're going to do it. That's when my red flags start going up in any direction.
Well, I agree 100%. I think the interesting thing is to also realize it can always shift too. You
Oh
may
yeah.
start this direction, and then now it's no, we're only, you know, I've seen this in my own relationship. It's been, we weren't ever going to be solo, and then we're like, well, it's only coupled together, and then now we're to a place where we're solo, but now there's like a reining in, like, the solo isn't working out for us in certain situations. So just know that it's a continuum that can work. But to your point, and I forgot this, a listener of my other podcast reached out to me and talked about the beauty of opening up, and it was from another guest who had talked about the same subject matter. And the beauty of opening up to the possibility that because his partner had had cancer, prostate cancer, and then basically had no sex drive, basically at that point, had ED problems and everything else, which is very typical for men. And there was frustration that then showed up on how to figure out how to do this and whether to be open and whether to be closed. And they tried everything until they settled in on, which has nothing to do without being poly or any of this, but it was such an interesting comment he made, where his husband now is what would be considered pegger. He's a pegger. He wears a strap on to, and he goes, our sex life has never been better. But there's such a diminished look at, like, oh my gosh, what are these guys that are in the community, or, you know, women in the community who peg somebody? It's like, you don't know the backstory until you know the backstory. And it's such a beautiful thing that happened for them, that this is I'm bringing that up because it's a good example of finding what works. In this case, that happens to be that for them. Don't be so adamant about, oh no, could never do that. That's great. If that doesn't work for you, that's great. But please, and this happens all the time. And I'm sure right after this show, I'll get lots of like, oh my God, that's okay. I'm used to it. Nobody's asking you to do this. It's kind of like, if you don't want to get gay married, then don't marry somebody who's gay. It's that simple, people.
You don't like Italian food, don't eat Italian food.
Yeah, if you don't want an abortion, then don't get an abortion. It's just, it's that simple, you know? But I think the beauty of where you do your work and, you know, what you're going to be launching with your own podcast is enlightening people to, it's for those that it works. And it's for those who want to explore. Maybe they explore and it doesn't work. That's another beautiful thing. But if you never explore, oftentimes, and I've done enough of this work, Deanna, that I know, if they don't explore, that can actually be more detrimental to the relationship than the exploration.
Yeah, you swallow it and then you sit on it, well, so to speak, and then it's but then it's hidden away. I mean, it's in the closet, right? It's in the closet, and then that's when at some point something's gonna explode in some direction. We don't know how, but
I'm glad you said it that way, because I actually had a very similar conversation. It's probably been a couple of years ago. I had a conversation with a couple who was like, oh, we think we're going to open it up and be monogamous and all this sort of stuff. And I could see the one guy afterwards, he said, I'd want a session solo, which is sometimes the way I do it. Like, okay, we did the couple thing. Now we're going to have a couple of solo sessions to like talk through it, you know? And he goes, I really want to do this, but I can tell my partner's pulling back. So I think I should probably just put this away. I said, you know what? What was the biggest pain for you about being in the closet? And he talked about it. I said, and what were some of the fears you had? And I said, what were some of the frustrations? The whole time, what I'm trying to go towards is, and then the question came, how is pushing this into the closet creating the same fears, the same frustrations, the same thoughts? Exactly. I said, do you really want to live through another experience like that? Which he could. I'm not saying he couldn't. But I was trying to help him see, like, what you're doing is you're actually starting to relive your coming out journey all over again. Except you're not coming out, you're staying in the closet about
it. Yes.
And it was some really beautiful work. I mean, we, you know, between him and his partner, we, and then ironically, his partner finally came to a similar space with me in his solo session a few weeks later, after several solo sessions. He goes, I feel like I might need to like push my enthusiasm away, because, you know, he was like, I was enthusiastic, but then I was like, I'm not so sure. And he goes, so now I'm really enthusiastic that I don't want to do it. He goes, but I almost feel like I need to hide that. I'm like, this is when I finally said, I love you both. I think it's time for you both to go have some marriage and family therapy, because I'm a coach. Because I can take you so far, but I, you know, at this point I'm like, this is not my training. This is it's time for you to go do some beautiful work together.
Can I just say, I really appreciate you saying that, because I think coaches can do some amazing work, and there's a point at which it's a different set of expertise.
Do not. I mean, if somebody comes to work with me, and this is, you know, I've said this numerous times too. If somebody comes to work with me and they're like, yeah, there's something really wrong with me that I'm gay, I'm like, that's great. I would love for you to go find a affirming therapist who can really support you in uncovering that. Cause that's not my work as a coach. I want to be with you when you're ready to like, I'm ready to start moving forward, because I want to help you with the forward momentum of getting stuff done. And I said, and there's therapists can do that same work, but I said, there's something interesting about, let's get the reveal and let's uncover and let's get through some of that stuff that's really holding you back in that deeper space. So that when you're ready to say, let's go, then great. Let me coach you through that. Let's look at what the let's go looks like, and what are the steps you're going to do, and how are you going to do it? Yeah, that's the good stuff. So yes,
awesome.
I don't want to do your work. Let's just say that.
Well,
because when I decided to become a coach, that was one of the concerns. Do I want to be a therapist? Do I want to be a coach?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
You got to know where your focus is. And can I take two more quick things here?
Absolutely.
One of which is, I use the closet analogy, and actually I use the analogy. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's been like memes going around with a China cabinet, and you like see the plates against the falling against the window of the China cabinet, and you know if you open it, like the only option is the china is going to fall out, right? That image of, or a closet, right, which you stuff full of stuff and you're afraid to open because it's all going to just fall out on you. So I tell my clients, you don't want to stuff it in the closet and never come back to it. You also don't want to put it right in front of you every moment of every day, because then you're going to be re-traumatizing yourself, going to not have trouble focusing on something else. So I say, let's put it on a shelf, you know, where you go by it every often, you so often you see it, you come revisit yourself with whatever it is, whether it's identity or trauma, or you acquaint yourself with it and you take the sting out of it. But you don't put it so much in someone's face necessarily that they're overwhelmed by it. But you also don't stuff it away. You find that middle ground that feels safe in whatever way for somebody. So I love that idea of that each of those people you were working with had to do their own work and bring it there. The other thing, if it's appropriate to go into, is what to look for in a poly-friendly therapist, because that's
Absolutely.
yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what your new podcast is about. Yes, it's for the general, but it's actually more geared towards the therapist, right?
It's yeah, it really is. We're focusing on both like therapeutic concepts, but also terminology and also best practices, just all of these things that you don't know and that you don't know. So I'm hoping that most therapists, I'm hoping, would have a pretty solid multicultural training. And this is kind of coming straight out of that of you know, try to keep an open mind. Don't assume you know where your client's coming from. Be ready to shift gears if someone says that something doesn't work for me. You know, be curious about it. But there's also some concrete pieces. Like, let's say someone said they want to work with the gay community, but they didn't know what pegging was, for example, or they
Right.
didn't know what, you know. And so there's some terminology that's important, but also some concepts. And the therapist, I think, really needs to do their own work around deconstructing what's my narratives around identity, around sexuality, around relationships, specifically in relation to, well, how would I feel if my partner wanted to go and be with
Right.
somebody else. I want to tell clients out there that one, it's something okay to ask therapists about. Therapists may not have a good answer, and that's okay. But it's okay to ask about, just similar to how you might ask about their multicultural savviness in whatever field. Interviewing therapists, I think, is always a good idea. I always encourage people, because someone might know a lot, but they may not be a good fit. And so, or coaches for that matter, you know, talk to some multiple people until you find somebody who feels like they'd be a good fit. But then also being able to shift, hey, I thought you would be a good fit. I saw you for a few sessions and it turns out you're not. I think that is one of the most important things that people don't tell you about, I'd say any medical providers, but I think a therapist especially, because it's about the relationship. You want to build a relationship with somebody and you don't want to let them down. But if it's not working, my gosh, get yourself to somebody who can help you. We're trained to give referrals. We're trained to not take it personally. I mean, and if we do, you know, we'll go process it in our own supervision as
Exactly.
opposed to like,
I have said this to clients all the time. I'm like, yes, therapists are coaches. Like, if you're wanting to work, you need to ask those questions. Because, I'm gonna go back to like when I started this practice, 2009, I kind of was, and this is not coming from ego, but I was one of the few coaches out there that was really focused on coming out later in life. I mean, I could count on my hand about five people that I knew that you could at least find, like really like their branding and everything was. And then as things have changed, like, because of the way things have, therapists have started doing some coaching and stuff too, where they don't have to like do as much. There's a lot more people out there. But I always say, I'm not the only guy. There's plenty, and I'm gonna jam with some of you. Like I can always kind of tell the ones that are like, ooh, yeah, I can see why, there's a connection. A lot of times shared experience, but sometimes it's like shared experience, the kind of guy I am. I always say if a guy's into bears, I'm their guy. They seem to just like my big Papa Bear kind of energy, right? But I always encourage clients, like, don't be afraid to ask the questions. I mean, one of the favorite questions I get from clients all the time, and then I'll share how it relates to what we're talking about, but one of my favorite questions that comes up quite a bit, like, so as my coach, what would you do if I decided I wasn't going to come out of the closet and I just wanted to continue the journey? I said, then I would support you in your decision. Because my job is not to make you come out of the closet. My job is to make you find the path that best suits you for your life. It's that
That's
simple.
brilliant.
That's just the way it is. So it's interesting because I had a similar conversation with somebody about 2 months ago. who was coming to do the work around being in an open relationship. And they asked the same question. So what would you do if I decided I didn't want to be in an open relationship? And I gave them the same exact response. Then we will have done really good work because you have found the answer that best fits for you.
Yeah.
And then they threw me the zinger. Well, what if I do the work, but my partner still wants to have an open relationship? I said, then it sounds like there's more work to be done for you two to navigate around that.
Bingo. That's exactly it, right? You did the work, but you're actually hitting on something I think is also really important when I work with couples or polycules. So I also do individual work, and whichever person or set of people I'm working with, I think when you're working with more than one person, there's space for each person to go do their own work and to come together. And honestly, I think couple and polycule work goes so much more smoothly when people have already asked themselves the hard questions. And then they come together having gone, oh, I've learned this about myself, and trying to figure out how to make it fit together. Or if they're doing it currently at the same time as couples work or polycule work. Because if people aren't doing their own work and you just do couples work, it's slower going.
It is very much slower going.
They're getting the insights in real time. Their partner's trying to hold the space while someone might be doing some really unpleasant or challenging work. You know, you hear your partner talking about how they're not attracted to you. It's hard to be in the room with that, as opposed to the person doing that individually and then says, you know, I came to this realization, and it doesn't cause that strife necessarily in the couple.
Well, this shows up all the time in the coming out work. I mean, somebody will come to work with me, you know, predominantly men. I've coached a few women through this too, but they'll come to do the work with me on coming out. But the other side of the equation either doesn't know most of the time, like this is what they're struggling with. And if they do know, they're not doing the work themselves. They're like head in the sand. I don't want to, you know, and that's really difficult work to do because I'm moving them along. They're getting through, they're understanding where their head is. But then they're like, but over here, I'm like, this is where you learn to really like talk to your significant other, spouse, whatever it is in that situation.
Right.
And encourage, like, I think it would be really helpful for us to do this in the right way for you to be exploring with someone too on how this looks for you. Right. And it's so interesting because oftentimes that spouse digs in like, no, this is you.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, guess what? You're probably sitting in a little bit of a codependent relationship, and not just a little bit, it's probably really a codependent relationship.
Yeah. That is one of the cautions. One of these people opens up non-monogamy or honestly, whatever theme, the other person expects them to say the same. And all of a sudden you got that friction because the one person is changing. And again, it could be on any theme.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It is anything, that comes along, you know?
And then all of a sudden, you've changed. Well, yes, I've changed for the better. Why haven't you changed? And that's where.
And then suddenly the butting heads is really, really heavy duty.
So
what is, you know, if somebody is, and this is such a loaded question.
Fair enough. Okay.
But if somebody is really struggling with this within themselves, what would you say the best way for them to start to explore, even if they don't want to be talking to you or me, let's just kind of put that there.
Sure.
What's one of the best ways for them to start really unpacking it within their own heads? I mean, I've got some ideas, but I'd love to hear from you because at some point they will end up in a seat with one of us, not just the two of us, but others. But there's almost like some there's some pre-exploration that you need to be digging a little bit into yourself to go, you know, why am I going here? Where am I going? I'm just curious what your take on that is.
So let's say, just make sure I'm clear. This person is suddenly confronted with the, I don't think I could ever do this, but I have to face it for whatever reason. What next? Is that the,
well, they don't think they could, but maybe they want to, but they're not sure why they're thinking they want to, or maybe they have been confronted. I mean, these are two different things. They're confronting within themselves and going, okay, now what? Or they've been confronted by a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend. I think let's go with like, they're kind of confronting it within themselves because there's a certain way I would go about this, but I'm curious to hear your take on this.
Well, I, for one, am a big fan of getting other people's input, not in prescriptive, but so much as exposure.
Yes.
So like in where I live, there's a CNM group or a non-monogamous group, right? Of people who in all different domains, but it's how, you know, let's talk about this. There's like, they have a, I think they used to have at least a 101 introductory thing monthly where you don't have to talk, you just go and listen and see what it's about. You there are plenty of books if people are readers, there are plenty of podcasts, of course, if somebody wants to listen to what it's about. There's also just sitting with the question of why, like, what is it about that makes me uncomfortable? So the themes of, you know, jealousy, I feel jealous. What is it that's making me feel jealous? What am I afraid of losing? What am I afraid of not having? So it's almost just sitting with some of the questions, the feelings, and then what's driving the feeling. Those would be my, and
I love what's driving the feeling.
yeah, what
Because
what's behind it?
the feeling is what, yeah, what's behind that, you know? I usually ask the question, like I kind of give people three questions. Why is this important? What is it you're wanting to experience? And come up with your top five feelings around this. Because if you can really identify the feelings, those can feed you a lot of information. You know, if you're feeling lonely, okay, well, that's something to go explore, which is different than I'm just feeling really horny and attractive to certain types of people. Okay, well, that's something to go explore. I'm feeling like I'm lacking intimacy. Okay, so you want to experience more. So these are just interesting. And I always, as a coach, that's one of my favorite things to kind of guide people towards is what do you want to experience? What are you wanting to experience?
I'll also do a shout out to the neuro spicy crowd, neurodiverse crowd out there, because oftentimes the question of what are you feeling can be met with, I don't know, like I'm having trouble sitting with it or experiencing it, or and I think that's something, it's broader, of course, than this what we're talking about here. But if the feelings of this feels overwhelming to think about what you're feeling, that tells you something. That tells you there's an area to start exploring. If there's sh if you start being ashamed because you don't know what you're feeling, or you start pushing it to the side. So your questions are great. And if the answer is I don't feel like I can answer those questions, that also gives you information in an important way.
And I think it's all about really digging in to, you know, as I already said, and you already said too, digging in to get to know yourself. Because if you know yourself, it's going to be much easier to start to bring this to whomever you're going to be speaking to about why you want this. But if you're not solid in yourself, it's kind of like coming out of the closet. Until I was really solid about why I knew for me I was gay, I knew why I wanted to be out of the closet. And some of that was going to hurt some people. Like, I have to be truthful with myself because I'm not being truthful with you. I have to quit playing a double standard because that's not in my integrity. I have to know that, you know, what I see in other people, in other men, is something I want to experience with another man, which I've had a great relationship. When I said those words to my wife, I'm like, we've had a pretty darn good relationship and I've enjoyed the relationship. But I know I just can't do this anymore because it's not fulfilling me in my truth. I want to be with a man, and a man is going to bring me something that you can't, and not just his dick. I literally said that to her. Now, that's a really tough thing as a woman to be confronted with, but that's a truth. You know, so I think this is that knowing yourself and being able to articulate it is what really can open the doorways. Because when you can articulate it to yourself, you're going to be able to articulate it much better, even though it's still going to be hard.
It's still going to be hard, and yet I think it's also just we're, this is my bias coming through, but I think we're kinder to others, we're more gentle, we're more patient. I mean, I have bad moods frequently, but I turn to my partner or my kids and I say, I'm having a bad day, you know, here's what I need. And even just by being able to articulate that I'm authentic, I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm grumpy or that I'm having a bad day, but let's, I'm having a bad day. Could I put on headphones while you all are in the other room? Could I not make something fancy for the next meal that y'all need for the kids? Or, you know, so, like the idea is meet my needs, get to know me so that then they know how to meet me, which I think is true
Absolutely.
for so many of us.
So true. So true. Well, I'm so glad we got to have this conversation because I think it's very much needed. Again, this isn't for everybody, folks. For those of you who are trying to figure out if it's for you, I would invite you to you know, get on Deanna's website, check out what she does, pick up Ethical Slut. I'm gonna mm-hmm. promote that book as long as I'm alive, because I still think it's very valid. If it's even just a starting point, there's plenty of other books out there, mm-hmm. but yeah. That one changed my world in a great way. So much of the guilt and shame went away when I'm like, okay, I get this. So
it might be a little dated for, I haven't read a recent version, but yeah. I will say that it's written in such a gentle way that helps you
yep.
challenge your own expectations. And that absolutely. I think is, that's yep. the key. Yeah.
That's the key. So, well, Deanna, thank you so much. And awesome. The best place for people to find you, why don't you give a shout out of your website sure real quick? Thing.
So you can look me up at allthecolorscounseling.com. You can also Google me, Deanna Fearman. Rick, go ahead and had spelled my name at the beginning of the podcast. So if you need to, yeah. you can go back and listen to yeah. that. And also my podcast that we're just getting up for therapists, but of course you're all welcome to listen whether or not you're a therapist or a coach or something, is called Multiple Choice with myself and my co-host Amanda Earle. And very cool. Yeah, either one, feel free to take a listen, and either way, good luck everybody on your own journeys.
Absolutely. And it is a journey. Trust it us. Really is. It's a journey, and it's a beautiful journey, provided that you set that tone too. Like, this is a beautiful yeah. journey to understanding myself, my partner, and anyone else in my world. Well, thanks again, Deanna, for being
thanks
here.
Thanks so really much for having me, Rick. Take care.
Hey, Life Uncloseted family. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, and it is time for all of us to sashay away and go face our fears, make those bold moves, and stand up to living our life without apology. But before you do, I've got a favor to ask of you. Would you hop over to iTunes or Spotify or Podbean or wherever it is that you're listening to this, and just give us a little bit of love if you like what we're doing here at Life Uncloseted. Here's what it does. It helps other people find the show. It helps other people get to know what we're all about. And you just might help change life. In fact, if you really want to change a life, we'd love it if you just ask a friend to take a listen and see what they think. So that's it. Love you all deeply. I'm Rick Clemons, the host of Life Uncloseted. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted.